make us happier. This mini workshop is all about cultivating greater gratitude in our lives. And most of us know full well what gratitude is. It's the gratuitous thank you that we say probably hundreds of times each and every day. And what we're endeavoring to do here at Harvesting Happiness is to make the art of thank you much more than a habit or a routine, but make it a ritual. So we're going to start off by defining what gratitude is and the science behind why it makes us happier. When one receives a personal gift or benefit that was not earned, deserved, or expected, but instead due to the good intentions of another person, a typical emotional response is gratitude. We are experiencing some technical difficulties. Welcome to live events. From time to time, we experience this in radio, when I do my weekly radio shows and when I do other live presentations. So my apologies. I'm getting a message here that I've been disconnected from the event. So I don't know if I'm being recorded or not, if you're hearing me or not. So just give us a moment. And let me get out of here for 1 second and try and come back into the event. Okay, I'm being given the word that I'm being heard just fine, so this is great. And once again, I'm going to start over very, very briefly so you'll have everything in one place on the call that is recorded and going to be sent to you. Once again, welcome to the Global Gratitude Gathering. I'm Lisa Cypress-Kamen, your facilitator from Harvesting Happiness. And what I mentioned earlier is that really what we're doing in this workshop is taking the art of gratitude to a new level, that gratitude or being thankful is something that we do 100 times a day and we don't really think about what we're doing. And what we're aiming to do with this program is elevate it to a place of ritual. So I want to define what gratitude is very briefly and quickly once again. Gratitude is when one receives a personal gift or benefit that was not earned, deserved, or expected, but instead due to the good intentions of another person. A typical emotional response is gratitude. And this was a study made by Emmons and McCullough in 2003. People are grateful if they are aware of and thankful of good things that happen to them, and if they express thanks to those responsible. Once again, this is Emmons, and Emmons is probably one of the premier psychologists who have studied gratitude, and he's written several books and published several articles on the subject. McCullough, Emmons, and Tsang in 2002 found that grateful people, in comparison to their less grateful counterparts, are more likely to feel appreciative. And this appreciation offers a wider span of benefits at any given time, such as with a family, friends, teachers, being included in a special event, or having been defended by someone, somebody who's come to our rescue or to our aid. And that we're more likely to feel appreciative with greater density for any given benefit. In other words, we're grateful to more people. You know, the more people have done for us, the more kindness that they have showed for us, the more grateful we are to them, the more frequently we are grateful, and the more intensely we are grateful for any benefit that has been received. One reliable way to feel good and is to strengthen our relationships and experience and express our gratitude. When we acknowledge the caring acts of others, it strengthens our relationships and helps us secure new ones. So this art and expression of gratitude actually is a relationship-building process as well. And when we learn to do this early in life, it may contribute to the bedrock of many positive outcomes in development. So it also assists in the development of character strengths. Gratitude is a common response to the kind act of another person. In recent years, psychologists have come to know a lot more about the science of happiness, which is my area of expertise, and what helps to increase positive emotion. One of the most valuable and proven tools to become happier is the practice of gratitude and appreciation. And I want to stop for a moment here and debunk the myth that gratitude is simply about saying thank you, that it's simply about writing down those things on a list that we're thankful for and really going on with our day and not really giving it another thought. It's much more than that. It is a practice. And the gratitude intervention that we're teaching here is, as I said, not mindless and not part of a routine. It's about ritual, the simple ritual of writing down or cataloging what we are grateful for and appreciative of what goodness is in our life will elevate our own sense of well-being quite rapidly. It's actually a kind of a rapid-fire response system. If we're not in a good mood and we switch our focus on the things that are not going well to the things that are, which by and large outweigh what does not go well in our lives, you know, we tend to focus in on the negative. And when we recalibrate the telescope or the lens within our own minds, we're able to realign our thought process and thereby adjust our emotion. Gratitude is all about focusing attention on what is good in life, and that naturally minimizes any energy that is targeted on what is wrong. So, you know, your grandmother or your mother or your father said, enjoy the little things in life. Well, there's something to be said for that, because the process of enjoying the little things in life is about savoring. And think of when we eat something that we really, really love, whether it's a piece of chocolate or a cookie or an ice cream cone, and I'm giving away the things that are my happy foods, but whatever that food might be for you, excuse me, when you taste that, when you really taste how that feels, the texture in your mouth, the sensation, the smell, whether it's hot or it's cold, that in of itself is a practice of savoring. It's really paying attention to the subtle details of the experience in the present moment. What we're offering in this program is a 30-day global gratitude challenge. And what I want to get into now is the workbook that we've prepared for you, which includes a gratitude journal, which is one of the primary interventions that are taught in most university and courses on gratitude and the science of happiness. And we're going to get into some other areas where this applies as well. But like we said, gratitude is a gift that seizes a precious moment with appreciation, awareness, and admiration. It's always kind, it's always free, and it's always legal. And by being thankful, we can make our day or we can make another person's day by bringing our attention to goodness, even when life is temporarily not cooperating with our good plans. And this is probably the heart center of the work that we do at Harvesting Happiness and Harvesting Happiness for Heroes. People will often make fun of me as, you know, Mrs. Happy or the happy psychologist or the happy coach. And really what my area of expertise and focus is on is when life does not go according to plans, how do we bounce back? How do we restore our resilience and go on with life and reclaim a level of joy when bad things have happened? And this, in particular, is where this 30-day global gratitude challenge comes in handy. One thing I offer for your consideration is to not reserve yourself. Go ahead, jump right in, and give thanks for all those things that are good, right, and true for you. And I want to add some other pieces of information that are not here on this presentation but are part of your workbook, and that is that Dr. Robert Emmons, and I mentioned him earlier in this presentation, is one of the world's foremost scientific authorities on gratitude. Emmons theorizes that gratitude is the queen of virtues, and I love that, the queen of virtues. In his book, Thanks, How the Science of Gratitude Can Make You Happier, he states that by creating and maintaining a ritual practice of gratitude, we can increase our happiness levels by 25%. So I think that this is compelling evidence to show that gratitude positively elevates mood, that it is a very, very effective intervention for depression, for the blues, when we're going through illness or discomfort or challenges and adversity in our life. By using this tool, this gratitude practice, we can assist and support ourselves to become more resilient and add to our bounce back abilities. What's so spectacular about gratitude is it's not simply a standalone virtue, but one that is a call to action. And what is great about this is it's not passive. So this call to action is best described as the perfect antidote to rampant self-absorption and the narcissistic entitlement that is so prevalent in our complicated modern world. We spend a lot of time in the why me. We spend a lot of time in worry and concern about things that have happened in the past, or concern and worry about things that are going to happen in the future. I call that looking in the rearview mirror or through the windshield of life, and not as much time in the present moment. And this, too, is part of the beauty of a gratitude practice, because it brings us mindfully to the present moment. So with that, I want to challenge you to challenge yourself to exercise your appreciation and watch it grow into a big, strong muscle of positive emotion that can even help carry you through those challenging times. And on to this popular gratitude generator. This is one of the most widely taught exercises, and it is the gratitude journal, and one that we have created and provided for you in the workbook. In our accompanying workbook, we ask that you write down 3 to 5 daily things that you are thankful for. And we go through an explanation of different ways of viewing gratitude, which we will get to shortly in this presentation. But in the workbook, you have got 30 days of notations that you can enter. Today I am grateful for. And we ask that you challenge yourself and perhaps other people in your family or in your office or in your orbit to do the same. So these items can be simple, like a sunny day, your partner's hug. If you've had a good day, showing appreciation and gratitude for the good day that you've experienced, or perhaps it's an unexpected visit from an old friend. And as you begin to document these small and simple pleasures that you're experiencing in life, you'll begin to see the world as a much more happy and hospitable place. And this is pretty much a guarantee. I have used this exercise for years, and it works like a charm when people work the exercise. So when you really decide to dial in on these great things that are happening in life, however big and small, we draw our attention from the negative, from the difficult, from the distasteful, to a more lighter side of living that is filled with positivity, filled with goodness, and filled with forward-facing plans. It's not unusual for our gratitude journal entries to be about others. In other words, we write about what our children did, what our husbands and wives have done, what happened at the office, and these external experiences rather than about ourselves. And one of the things that I offer for your consideration is in your gratitude practice to take a few minutes every now and again. Ideally, it would be great every day, and maybe that's another gratitude intervention for a more advanced class, to honor something about yourself, whether it is your body, a part in your body, a quality or characteristic that you possess that is good, that is true, that you are truly thankful for possessing. When I do guided meditations, I often include in the meditations a thank you for your body, for our bodies, for the magnificent work it does each and every day that we actually take for granted, that we breathe, that our heart pumps blood, that we're able to move our limbs, that our eyes can see the world. These are the small kinds of things that are really not so small at all. They're quite big. But I offer that as part of your gratitude practice. In addition, the concepts of compassion, empathy, and self-love are huge components in being a happy person. The people who are happiest tend to possess higher self-esteem. They feel good about themselves. They feel good about their relationships and the world around them. They are able to see the flaws that they possess but not be defined by them. So self-criticism is not a productive habit, and we are not talking about self-criticism, we're talking about the antidote, which is self-love and self-honoring. Another useful component in our gratitude work is reframing bad, negative, or adverse events. And I ask you to consider documenting these as well, that we are not trying to erase every bad thing that has ever happened to us from our minds and our consciousness and our experience. What we are asking is to consider reframing these negative things in a more positive light. So it's about actively identifying something good that came of a bad situation. Many call it the shiny silver lining or making sweet lemonade out of seriously bitter lemons when bad things happen. So this too can be part of the gratitude practice. It can also be part of the process of letting go. Forgiveness work is a huge component in positive psychology, and this actually ties very close together, that when we are able to embrace some of the more positive aspects of a bad situation and let go, and by letting go I don't mean forgetting, but being willing to let go of our position around something that we strongly hold is negative, we take a step closer to be in forgiveness, to simply allowing what happened to happen without allowing the perpetrator off the hook, but allowing our position to be let go of. And this, in a sense, is freeing for ourselves. You know, forgiveness is all about the forgiver, not about the perpetrator. But that is for another workshop. This is a terrific quote by Oprah Winfrey. Be thankful for what you have, you'll end up having more. If you concentrate on what you don't have, you will never, ever have enough. And this ties very closely into scarcity mentality. And when we are in worry and upset and anxiety about not having enough, about not having our needs fulfilled, we hold on. We hold on tight. We recoil. And this quote really talks to being aware and being grateful for the things that we do have, the gifts that we do possess, and it ends up generating more. You know, positive emotion generates more positive emotion, just as negative emotion generates more negative emotion. So when we keep ourselves in the more optimistic side of life, our emotions and actions are more likely to follow suit. And this goes back to the discussion that we had a few moments ago about suffering. It's agreed and understood that there are some situations that are truly tragic. There are horrible things going on in our world every single day, in our families, in our communities, in the world at large. And many of us understand this all too well. So you see, it's not the situation that becomes the issue. It's how we relate or choose to process what has happened to us that makes all the difference in how we come out the other side of it. It's a little bit different paradigm. You know, people will say, oh, she or he has such bad luck. These bad things have happened. They've had a very rough life. Well, depending upon how the person who's experienced those things views what has happened, they may or may not believe that they've had a rough life. They may feel they've had a good life with rough moments or a bad life with a few good moments. And I am of the belief that by staying in the good life and having experienced a few bad moments, I'm more able to manage when those bad moments or difficult moments and challenges arise. We'll never be happy about adversity, but we can learn to be grateful for the life lessons our pain and suffering teaches us. And this is a huge component to happiness. And when you ask people who appear to be the happiest people on the planet if they've ever suffered, their response will be something like, of course I've suffered. They understand that suffering is part of the human condition. But what has enabled them to bounce back is their resilience and their belief in hope and optimism and a better tomorrow. So the gift here is our ability to see challenges as opportunities for growth, that the evolution from suffering to transformation can be a spectacular awakening and one that actually invites more joy into us being alive. So I am all for the transformation from these difficult experiences. Rumi wrote so beautifully that wear gratitude like a cloak and it will feed every corner of your life. And one thing we always say around here at Harvesting Happiness is that happiness is an inside job. Happiness is your inside job. And this speaks to the ability to reframe an issue, to relate to any issue that arises differently, and then that becomes the opportunity for a positive outcome. Before we move on, I want to talk a little bit about rituals, routines, and habits, and this is contained within the workbook that you have received already or will receive when you receive your copy of this recording. And in rituals, routines, and habits, they are subtly different invisible structures that help us organize our lives. And when we're in the practice of cultivating gratitude, it's important to understand the differences between these three words. And I want to touch upon that for the recording purposes, that rituals are mindful as a mindful process that commemorates an event, and they are designed to bring people together to become more focused and interconnected. And in the instance of rituals, think of birthday parties, think of Thanksgiving meals, which is just around the corner. And with routines, these are predictable activities that are consistently done in the same way to provide structure to our day, such as preparing breakfast in the morning or going to the gym. And finally, habits are unconscious repeated behaviors that become almost involuntary, such as brushing your teeth and looking both ways before crossing the street. And I dare say that thank you has become a habit, that we are taught from a very young age to say please and thank you, that according to a mythological childhood cartoon character, that they are the magic words. And they are. But what I'm suggesting with the process of gratitude is that we turn a habit of saying thank you into a ritual. So in order to cultivate a solid gratitude practice, one that sticks, mind you, it requires attention on all three of the above-mentioned methods. So we want to create rituals that celebrate and honor ourselves and others. We want to establish routines that support paying attention to what is positively right with life. So it's the routine that helps us focus our attention, which is a little bit different. And then we want to adopt habits that encourage memory and acknowledgement of this kindness, of the gifts and benefits and goodness that come along with our daily lives. So that's part of the challenge that you've got within this 30-day generating global gratitude. And these are at the root about practices that are in memory. An attitude of gratitude is all about remembering, both in good times and in bad. It's been said that our gratitude deficit comes from being collectively forgetful, that we've forgotten how to appreciate the rights of freedom that we are afforded. We have forgotten to acknowledge those who've sacrificed on our behalf to preserve what we feel we are entitled to. We forget to express heartfelt thanks for the material advantages and the things we think will make us happy. It's been said that grateful people recall positive memories and emotions of being recipients of goodness, gifts, and grace that's not earned or deserved, but merely honored and celebrated daily. So this is an important distinction, that they are able to embrace what has happened, not because they feel that they've deserved it or earned it, but they're simply willing to celebrate it, to ritualistically celebrate and honor the goodness that has happened. So harvesting our own gratitude practice or your own gratitude practice requires awareness and a relentless practice of thank you, thank you, thank you, that focusing on our intention is only the first step in landing where we want to be. There are many other parts of the equation. So let's talk for a minute about a zillion other ways to be thankfully grateful, as I like to say. There are a few other suggestions that are contained within your workbook, and I'm going to just give a smattering of them here. But we've got the gratitude journal, which is in the workbook, and then there's some other ways that you can extend that gratitude journal out into the world globally. This would be the gratitude jar. In your workbook, there is a bonus page that you can copy, which are little gratitude cards. You can copy it on nice cardstock, cut it up, get a jar, put it in your kitchen for your family or in your office, or if you have a retail store, maybe put it on the counter with some blank cards, And ask people to write things that they're grateful about and include them in the jar. And soon you build up this collection of gratitude, and gratitude begets gratitude. So this is another way that expands upon the gratitude journal. Another is, one of my students suggested this one, which is actually fantastic. It's text-festing your thanks. To create a group text to your family, friends, or colleagues, offering gratitude for their gifts of being human. Just because, you know, I want to thank you for being you. And then watch it go viral. So this is an intervention that takes about 5 seconds. It can be done while you are waiting for somebody to come into your office, or waiting for something, for an appointment, let's say. Little things that you can intervene with on a daily basis to generate more joy, to generate more appreciation and thankfulness. Here's another one that can be used at your upcoming holiday meal, and I call this the hot seat of thanks. So when you're sitting around your Thanksgiving table or your Christmas table or your Hanukkah table or whatever you're going to celebrate in this winter season about the lights, about bringing more light into your life, that you designate one chair to be this hot seat of thanks, and that you rotate with everyone at your table and make that person the focus of your gratitude. So you put mom or dad or your child in the chair and you say, you know, I want to thank you for being you. I want to thank you for being so bright, so loving, so caring, so skilled, whatever it is that you love about that person, to thank them for being who they are. This is very, very effective. Another is the wall of gratitude, and this is a takeoff on the gratitude jar and the daily gratitude. These cards that we've included in the workbook can be used for this as well. You can purchase some clothespins, some string, and if you don't have these cards, you can use index cards or any cards, and stretch the string across a prominent place in your home or office. You can think about one of those Christmas card or holiday card lines that are in the kitchen or across the mantle, and ask people in your world who come through your home or your office to include their own gratitude. This is another thing that can happen at your holiday meals. And then you've got this line of gratitude. And we practice this in our home at the holidays and leave it up. It probably goes up around this time of year and stays up probably until March or April, because I forget to take it down and I like having it there. So this is another nice way. And there are other tips that are contained within the workbook. But most importantly, I wanted to make sure that you understand the difference between rituals, routines, and habits, and why they are important in cultivating this gratitude as a practice, as a mindful practice, which is part of paying attention. And here's a quote by Dr. Robert Emmons, who wrote that book, Thanks. In gratitude and humility, we turn our realities outside of ourselves. We become aware of our limitations and our need to rely on others. In gratitude and humility, we acknowledge the myth of self-sufficiency. We look upon and outward, up, we look upward, excuse me, we look upward and outward to the sources that sustain us. Becoming aware of realities greater than ourselves shields us from the illusion of being self-made. Being here on this planet by right, expecting everything and owing nothing. The humble person says that life is a gift to be grateful for, not a right to be claimed. Humility ushers in a grateful response to life. And I write a lot about gratitude and the gifts of presence, but gratitude is a gift of presence and mindful awareness to what is right with life. So carrying on from some of the items in our workbook, we've got the 30-day global challenge that is in the workbook. We've got the cards that can be useful for your gatherings, and I have to say they look terrific. And then there's also the reflections on a practice contained within the workbook. We have a page that has reflections on what you experience, the next action steps that you are going to commit to help anchor your gratitude practice, and then some notes to self. If you've got a pearl of wisdom or a fabulous quote that you can think of that summarizes how you feel about gratitude. We'd love for you to jot it down in the notebook, and we would love for you to share with us, even better for us, on social media through Harvesting Happiness on Facebook and on Twitter, on LinkedIn and Pinterest. We give you those links within the workbook itself. And we'll get on to what's next shortly, but going back to the gratitude practice too, I wanted to give you a few more ideas. For those of you who have a spiritual practice, there is the opportunity to say grace before meals. This is something that many people do practice, even in a secular way, to be thankful for the food that you're about to eat, for how the food was grown, for the animals that gave their life, some people say, so this meal could be had. So that is another way to pay attention to your mindfulness. Then there is the morning ritual. If you get up in the morning and you have a ritual cup of coffee, you might be very aware of all parts of that coffee that you are enjoying, whether it's the warmth of the mug that you're holding, the texture of the ceramic, the smell of the coffee, how that coffee tastes, whether you sweeten it or use creamer, the environment that you're sitting in when you enjoy the coffee, the reflection of it being the morning, a new day, and the new day ahead offers opportunity and promise. If you're the first up in your household or the first at your desk each day at your office, maybe there's just a pregnant pause of the start of the day that you will be able to savor that will set you on the path of being aware of the good things that will happen in that day. And like we said earlier, even if good things are not happening, is there a way to reframe those challenges that can serve you as an opportunity for growth? So that is the flip side of this, and it's important to keep this in mind as part of the practice. So the other, another interesting one is the things that we take for granted, and we touched upon this earlier as well, that oftentimes we don't think of how magnificently our bodies operate each and every day, even when all the body parts are not operating at 100%. So, for example, you know, you can think of things that you take for granted, such as your home, your ability to walk, your ability to write, your ability to sit at a computer or to be on a phone to experience a program like this. We're very privileged, and we live in an environment that offers us so many choices and opportunities. Now, once you've got those images in your mind, one by one, take them away. Take away having a home or a roof over your head. Take away having a mobile phone or a phone with which to stay in communication with people and the world at large. Take away your computer, which for many of us is a lifeline to our businesses. If we had that computer taken away from us, we wouldn't be able to operate in our business. And then you begin to add those things back into your life mentally as a process, as an exercise, and come to understand how you would value and prize those things in a little bit different light. So that's another way to express gratitude. And then there is the gratitude visit. And this is something that has been talked about for many years. It's been reported in many of the positive psychology journals. And this is where you would write a letter about somebody who has truly made an impact in your life that really has touched you in some extraordinary way, but it does not have to be through extraordinary acts. I often tell the story of Mrs. Unger. Mrs. Unger was my 7th grade English literature teacher. And when I got to 7th grade, it was really hard for me. I remember that it was extremely difficult for me to focus and to really write properly. And this woman taught me how to write. And I had such a connection with her that I became obsessed with reading and writing. And I read and write all the time. I write as part of my profession. But I owe that love of learning and that love of reading and writing to this woman, Mrs. Unger, from Princeton, New Jersey, who taught me to appreciate literature in a different way, who spoke to me in a language that I could understand when I was not a conventional student. So, for example, you would write a letter to that symbolic Mrs. Unger, and you would mail it to her if you still could find her, or you would go and see her. And if you couldn't go and see her, you might try and find her or him, whoever that person is, and have a Skype visit, a virtual gratitude visit. And you would be amazed how good it will make not only the other person feel, but you as the giver feel. And it's been said that, you know, giving is more for the giver in some respects than for the receiver. So this is another wonderful challenge that you could choose to participate in as part of your generating global gratitude. And I think I can go on and on and on, but I'd like to move on to other areas here. But one more. This is a really nice one. And this is looking at life through the eyes of another person. We oftentimes get so used to experiencing our daily routine through our own eyes that we forget to view the world with wonder and delight and awe. So it might be interesting to find a way to see these things and people and places that you love through the eyes of another. And you can do this by taking a friend or a loved one on a journey. Take them to some of your favorite places. Show them or lend them or give them something that you really covet as something that makes you happy, and enjoy their reaction to something that you hold dear. Maybe you want to introduce somebody that you love to somebody else in your world that they never knew, that they each know different aspects about you. The idea with this is generating this sense of curiosity and wonder, and through that comes the gratitude, and through that comes the positive emotion. So it's giving a fresh perspective and in a sense, rekindling our appreciation and our thankfulness. And another one, I'm going to give one more and then move on. And these are questions that you can bring in the forefront of your mind. These four questions can be something like, what touched me today, or who touched me today? What was my inspiration today? Was it seeing the smile on a child's face in the street, or was it seeing my cats play, or seeing my kids do well at sports? Whatever it was, what made me smile? And what is the best thing that happened today? You know, I often ask my kids, what was the best part of your day and what was the worst part of your day? Wanting to know the two extremes and what made up what was considered the best and what was considered the worst. But focusing on the best thing that happened today and perhaps chronicling that in the gratitude journal. So on and on and on it goes, and I welcome your email responses or your social media responses to how you celebrate and honor gratitude, because we can expand our list and make it part of the curriculum if you will be so good as to clue us in on how you are generating greater joy and gratitude in your lives. So the next step, this is one in a series of many Harvesting Happiness virtual campus programs that we're going to be offering in the new year. The first one that is going to come in January, and it's January 25th of 2014, that's a Saturday, is Mission 2014, Creating an Epic Year Ahead. And it will follow a similar format to this program. It will have a visual presentation, the phone call, of course, and an accompanying workbook that is designed to focus in on goals in the new year. And in this program, we will learn tools and strategy for creating a mission statement. And this really is a mission statement that you would see in a company, for example, but applying it towards the individual or a collective mission that you may hold with your partner. We're going to cover goals, vision, intent, accountability, and how to create action in the year ahead. So if this is something that interests you for goal setting in the coming year, we invite you to join us. And the questions that we will cover is, what do you envision for the year ahead? What do you wish to accomplish? And what are you willing to do to achieve it? And this particular one, the third bullet point, is one where many of us fall short. We have a grandiose vision. We have a loose action plan. And then we don't commit to certain milestones and timelines and ways of achieving what it is we think we want. And I say that with a chuckle, you know, what it is we think we want. So this program is also about really defining goals that matter. So to do the quick soft sell on this, that we do have a promotion going on, which Sarah, my colleague, will jump on the line at the end and talk about, because I am technologically challenged here. There should be a click-through bar on the left of your screen that would allow you to take advantage of a limited-time global gratitude gathering promotion that we've got on for this class. and then it will be broadcast to our community at large all over the world to take advantage of this program at a higher price. So thank you for being part of the Global Gratitude Gathering. We really are grateful to have you be a part of this launch of this program. We're excited to continue with this kind of programming. I use it all the time in my nonprofit work through Harvesting Happiness for Heroes, which is our 501c3 that deploys integrated combat trauma recovery program for our vets and their loved ones who are challenged by post-traumatic stress. So we are adapting parts of that curriculum for everyday folks. We're adding different components of the work that we do to expand the curriculum and our offering. And we're really grateful to you for being a part of Harvesting Happiness, for listening to our radio show if you do. And if you don't know about our radio show, it airs live every Wednesday at 9 a.m. Pacific, 12 noon Eastern Time, Harvesting Happiness Talk Radio on toginet.com. In addition to which, each and every podcast is available for free downloading on iTunes. We have amazing, amazing guests from all realms, all walks of life that are involved with living life with passion, purpose, place, and meaning. It's all about human flourishing, about living a thriving life, giving applicable tools to your life, how you can learn and grow and transform yourself, because we are never fully formed. You know, in fact, if we stop growing and say that we've had enough, we're dead in the water. So my goal is to share as much information as I can to help people continue to grow and thrive no matter what stage of life they are in. And I wanted to give a little shout out to the people that helped put this together. The song that you listened to at the beginning and you will hear at the end is by Danny Peck, written by Donna Summer and Danny Peck, performed by Danny Peck, and the logo and presentation design is by Lillianne or Lily Hodgins, and she is with me for Harvesting Happiness for Heroes. She's one of our interns there, and she is hugely committed to creating amazing content for anything that we do. And connect with us. Here is our social media. You'll be able to connect with us and let us know how you're doing with your global gratitude. And now I will open up the questions with Sarah's help. And Sarah, if you're there, you can come on the line, and if I fail to make any of the technology known, help me help our listeners get to where they need to go with registration.
Okay, well, I'm here. Can you hear me okay?
I can hear you now.
Okay, great. Well, I do have a couple of questions that were sent in through the chat, but for any of you that are on the phone, yeah, and I'll go through those, but first I want to tell everybody how they can submit questions if there's somebody that, you know, maybe you mentioned something that they want to hear a little bit more about or have you explained something further. If you're on the phone line and you would like to ask a question, just press *2. And on my end, I will see that you have a question, and I will unmute you, and I will repeat back the last part of your phone number. That might be the easiest, so you know who I'm calling on. And you can ask your question. And then if you're on the webcast, a couple have already sent in questions, but you should see to your left a little chat box or a question box, and you can just type in your question, press submit, and it'll come to me immediately, and I can read those to Lisa so we can answer any questions you might have. And then if you do want to go check out the special offer, I am going to be emailing everyone the recording of this, and it will have the link to the web page, and that will probably make it the easiest for everybody. Or you can go to harvestinghappiness.com/mission-2014, and that will get you there. But the questions we had, so let's see, the first question is, this question comes from Dan, and he's asking, what would you suggest be a first action step someone take if they're trying to generate more gratitude? And what he meant is coming from someone who's not really been doing anything. So one simple step so that he's not trying to overwhelm himself, but to start generating a little more gratitude.
Got it. So from what I hear you say, this could be for somebody who may have been going through some difficulties, maybe going through some challenges, and is looking to focus their attention in a more positive place. And one of the things I can say is finding programs like this, you know, that come your way are phenomenal tools. And there is so much information out there that may be, going back to the being aware of the blessings that you do have, albeit the computer that sent you this flyer, or that you had the foresight to sign up for a newsletter to support yourself, even though you may not have been feeling 100% positive, that you actually did something in service to improving your mood. Oftentimes we blame ourselves, you know, when we're not in a good place in our lives, bad things have happened, or we're going through an uncomfortable period, we tend to perpetuate that space. So the fact of the matter is Dan did something. Whatever that was, whatever that moment was where he decided to take this program or be involved with Harvesting Happiness, there was some decision that he decided for the positive. So I would say go ahead and start there. You know, thank you, Dan, for having making a good decision to do something kind for yourself or for myself. Something like that was very personal, very directed, very small. And it doesn't need to be big. So that would be one of the first places that I would start, is to focus in small and very tight with the magnifying glass, something little. And then at the opposite end of the spectrum, at the same time, just to add perspective and diversity, if Dan lives in a place where he can go outside if he's able, or even if he's not able to go outside, and notice something in his immediate environment that gives him pleasure or satisfaction, whether it's a blossom on a tree out his window, the pet that's sitting on his lap, or the water that's by the stream near his house, or the smile of his neighbors on his neighbor's face, something a little bit broader on the spectrum on a more global level that offers him awareness of something that is good, and to document that. And to continue toggling back and forth, you know, going local and global, until it becomes a little bit more of a comfortable practice. Because it sounds like for Dan, it has not been a comfortable practice.
Mm-hmm. Right. Well, that is great. We've got another question, too, that came in. This question came in from Cheryl, and she is asking, she is currently going through a divorce, and so she's actually wanting to know if you might have any advice for her as far as, you know, bringing more gratitude in, going through this difficult situation, but also for her children, because she feels like her kids probably aren't seeking out, you know, what things like she might be. And so what could she do to help bring more gratitude into her kids on a daily basis while going through this difficult situation, this divorce?
Great question, one that I can personally relate to. I have been through a divorce, and it is a very heart-wrenching, gut-wrenching, sad process. You know, when things change and relationships end, it's painful, and it's very sad, especially when there are children involved, for the sense that they are losing the family unit. And one of the things that I offer to my kids and clients that I coach who are going through similar situations is to point out that when divorces occur, it's not necessarily the breakup of the family. It's the breakup of an unhappy relationship, and the family still remains intact, but you have to take care of it. So for Cheryl and her kids, leading by example, if she is leading a life that is positive, that is fulfilling, that she's replaced part of the sadness, at least, that she experienced in the marriage with positive emotion and positive activities and positive community and connection, she gives a really good example to her children about that bounce back, the ability to be resilient and to come back from challenges.
All right. And we have another question that was sent in. This question is from Anna. And let's see. She's asking, what is the best way to try and forgive someone who purposely harmed you when you offer them positivity and now they refuse to admit what they did? And you don't speak anymore because they chose to stay away when they saw the damage was done.
This is a fantastic question, and one that I do deal with a lot in my work, especially with veterans. When we forgive, when we make a conscious choice to, if not forgive, but begin to work on forgiveness, because forgiveness is a process, we do it to, in a sense, allow ourselves off the hook. If somebody has wronged us, let's say there's been a predator in our lives, that, you know, we've been, you know, raped or molested, or someone has physically harmed us or emotionally abused us, the concept of forgiveness is not to get to allow the perpetrator off the hook. It's not to excuse somebody who's done something illegal or morally reprehensible. It is about allowing ourselves the gift of letting go of our grief, of our anger, of our frustration, of our judgment towards ourselves and the other person. So I always say that forgiveness is for the forgiver. So Anna's question is very, very timely, especially, you know, this time of year when we tend to be very reflective and pensive about the meaning of thankfulness, the meaning of family, the meaning of the holidays, and the new year coming, you know, as an opportunity to start fresh and make resolutions. So with forgiveness, it is definitely a process, and it's really about staying focused on your own perspective and allowing the other person the dignity of their own process. The person who did wrong, you know, does wrong against us, has their own set of issues, has their own challenges, their own adversities, and their own traumas that they went through. Otherwise, they wouldn't perpetuate those kinds of acts upon another. So it's not about letting them off the hook for doing that. It's about allowing them the space for them to have their experience, to set boundaries that we cannot be part of their experience, and to allow ourselves this gift of exhaling and say, you know what, we're not going to hold on to this garbage, this position any longer, because it doesn't serve our own growth and our own healing and our own happiness and our own gratitude.
Let me just check to see if we have any other questions. It's looking like if anybody has any questions, looks like they've all been answered. I don't see any other. Oh. There's no hands up, and there's no more questions that have been submitted.
Okay. Well, I think that we have the opportunity also when people get the replay, if they want to ask questions, they can feel free to shoot us emails as well to the website or put the questions up on social media. Well, not social media because that's not anonymous, but certainly send the questions to us, and they're completely private, and we will respond. So that
yeah,
is
I'll
another.
Give
an, yeah.
Yeah, I'll give some instructions, and if they want to do that that way, they can feel free to submit their questions to you and can get some answers and do it privately that way through email.
Well, and I want to thank you, Sarah, who has been my knight in shining armor, my woman knight in shining armor, who has helped put this together with me. We've created it, and it's, you know, it's really an honor and a pleasure to be able to do this and share this information with the community and know that there are more coming. And I love doing it. I loved writing. I was very, very busy writing the workbook, and I hope that you guys enjoy it. And I really urge you to give us feedback. Help us help you, because we exist really to serve the community. And if there's a workshop that you'd like to see, if there's some specific topic that you'd like to see, one of the ones that is going to be upcoming after Mission 2014 is Kindling Kindness, all about how kindness as a practice can change the world. Another one that is going to be upcoming is Cultivating Courage. And this is something that many of us are challenged by, that courage really is a virtue and a positive strength that creates happiness, that when we are courageous and willing to dip our toe into the sea of change and possibility, the world around us completely changes. So those are just two to whet your appetite that we've got coming up in the new year. And I also wanted to say that we've got products over at Shop Happy. We've got books, my documentary film, H Factor, Where Is Your Heart? There are Happiness is an Inside Job totes and caps and all kinds of good stuff over there. So if the spirit moves you and you want to pay forward a little happiness, you can find some cool stuff over there. And I think that's it. Unless we have any other questions, I just want to thank you for being here and taking time out of your day and challenge you to go forward and generate joy and generate gratitude in the world. And we really appreciate you being here, and a happy, happy holiday season to everybody, no matter what beliefs you have, no matter what corner of the globe you come from. We are grateful to you for being here. Have a great afternoon, everyone.